Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me today. Today, everyone, we have a very special guest, and I'm a big fan of, I have to say, and I have been watching him for the past year, maybe more than that, and it is Father Chris Alar. Welcome to Women Made New.
Well, it's an honor. Thank you, Crystalina. I have to laugh because I can claim I was a bigger fan of yours way earlier, before I was a priest, watching you on EWTN. So the feeling's mutual, and God bless you for the work you do in the vineyard for the Lord. So nice to be here.
I have to say, it shocks me. It puts a massive smile on my face. And honestly, see, when you say yes to God, you never know who you're going to touch, right?
That's right?
It's crazy. And then your paths cross. And it's just overwhelming, shocking, and amazing. So before we get started, Father, can you lead us all in prayer, please?
Yes, in name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you send the Holy Spirit down upon us to open our minds and hearts to receive the grace you wish to bestow, the grace that will lead us all to eternal life. And we ask that we remain open and to learn from you by opening our minds to be able to process all the good that you want to bring into our lives. And through the intercession of Saint Faustina and Mary and all the saints, may Almighty God bless this time, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, everyone, I don't know if you are familiar with Father Chris Alar, but this is such a treat, such a treat. And I have to say, okay, you have really grown on social media with your different videos that you put out. And now Father Chris Alar is from the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, but a lot of you may know him with the Divine Mercy. But Father, can you just kind of let our viewers know what it is you do, where you come from, just kind of give us a little synopsis of yourself?
Well, we're grateful to work with kind of together, even though separately, because we both do a lot with EWTN. And when COVID hit, it's really amazing how God can bring a greater good out of even the worst evil. Because back in Michigan, where I grew up in Detroit, if somebody would have told me in high school, where the only things that mattered to me were my car, my girlfriend, and wrestling. That was the only thing that mattered. I was going to be a fighter pilot. I got an appointment to the Air Force Academy. I had my whole life planned ahead of me, and I never stopped to ask God what he wanted my life to be. And lo and behold, all my life changed. It got turned upside down. The suicide of my grandmother, medical discharge from the academy. And it's all of a sudden, my life was upside down. And I went on, got my MBA from, I'm an engineer by degree, went on and got my MBA from Michigan, and then worked in the Detroit auto industry. Great, great job, great people. And I kept thinking there's something missing. Didn't know what that was, went down to North Carolina, found the most perfect place to live north of Charlotte on Lake Norman, had a house on, opened a business, opened up this business, did extremely well, had a beautiful fiance, had a dog, car, boat business, and still something was missing. I was beginning to think I was the most ungrateful guy in the history of the world. And I'm like, Lord, how could you give one man so much and he still not find true happiness, true joy, because there's a difference between joy and happiness. So I hadn't found joy. I think I found happiness, but not joy. And so finally, as time went on, I discovered our Catholic faith again. I came, saw a talk by Scott Hahn. I started watching EWTN. It all of a sudden started changing my life. I started coming back to the faith with a vengeance. And so then what really brought me back was Divine Mercy. And I was amazed that my grandmother, who took her life, I'd always taught that the church, or I always learned that the church taught that if you take your life, you're lost. Your soul is in hell. And when I found out that that's not church teaching, I said, wow, we have a God that merciful. And so Divine Mercy really brought me in. And then I saw the Marian Fathers on Divine Mercy Sunday on EWTN. And that really helped me to see where all of a sudden a clarity for the first time in my life, lo and behold, make a long story short, I came to the Marians in 2006 as just a postulant. I didn't know All I knew is I wanted to serve the Lord and I wanted to be part of Divine Mercy. And now, lo and behold, I'm the provincial superior of the Marian Fathers in all of the United States and Argentina. But more important than that is what God's doing with this tiny little religious community. When COVID hit, we had no idea what was going to happen. So I started this series called Explaining the Faith, where we would do teachings on our faith every Saturday morning. Now we have standing room only sometimes in the shrine. And we've got several videos that are over a million views on YouTube. And then EWTN asked me to, based on those videos, to do a show. And so now every night, Wednesdays at 6:30 Eastern time or 3:30 West Coast time, you can join us on EWTN for Living Divine Mercy, which I think a lot of people like better because I do a lot of the Saturday show topics, but I condense them to 10 minutes of teaching rather than an hour. And then we add stories about people living mercy in their lives. So sorry to answer your question.
No, very excellent. That was perfect.
But it really is an amazing way that God can lead you when you don't expect it. Now the Lord has changed everything. So what an amazing way God works if we just are open to His grace.
And that's the key, is being open. Again, if you just tuned in, we are talking with Father Chris Alar, and he is from the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. Now, I want to just backtrack a little bit with you, Father Alar, about how you knew. Because if everything was so perfect in the world's point of view, right, looking in at your life, and you had everything going on, how did you discern that that truly was not the will of God? And that's where people really get stuck in their head and don't know how to go to their heart and hear those whispers, those small, still whispers in our heart where Jesus is calling us. How did you do that?
It was funny because I 100% discerned through having peace. You know, peace is not just an absence of war. Peace is an inner tranquility in the heart where you're not being, you know, distracted by a thousand things. And what's so ironic about that is even in the midst of all of the positive things that were happening for me in the business and in my engagement with my fiance and in the business and everything else, I wasn't at peace. But the second I went into that chapel, when I started going back to adoration, when I started going back to confession, you know, this being a Saturday, definitely, if you get the chance, go to confession. Confession is so important. You will feel like a new person. And when I started going back to confession, I started feeling cleansed. When I started going to adoration, I started to feel united with God. And I noticed the only time I was at peace, true peace, is when I was either praying in the chapel, coming out of confession cleansed, in Bible study, because I started taking Bible study, learning about our faith, or watching EWTN, or learning in some way about our faith, or talking about our faith. Any and every time I did those things that were faith-centered, or even like working at the soup kitchen or donating time at the parish, I was at complete peace. I had no distractions. My life was calm. The second I would go back into the secular world, there wasn't that peace. And this went on and on for years. And finally, I knew that that peace was the Lord was calling me into the life of a consecrated, committed vocation to serve Christ in His church. And then that ended up leading to the priesthood.
Wow. Now, just to get into some details here, because there are some women right now listening that may be engaged, but feel like maybe they still have a vocation and it's tugging on their heart.
Absolutely.
What do they do? How do they go about getting out of that engagement or letting someone, you've gone through this process. So how, I want you to just speak to their, to those women.
Yes. The first thing that I would absolutely say to the person who is struggling with a vocation, because even after I came to the Marian Fathers, and I was still in temporary vows, I went through postulancy, novitiate, and after my first vows, I still was troubled with missing Gina. I every day I wasn't sure, even though I came to the Marians, I was still struggling to the point where I left. I actually left religious life after 3 years to be able to put closure finally. In fact, I didn't leave with the intent of putting closure to my relationship. I left with the intent of putting closure to my vocation of the priesthood. And so I would never recommend this, but I literally sat in the Basilica in DC for 8 hours one day. I got permission to pray. And then I still was begging God to show me, and he wouldn't show me. You know what I did? I don't recommend this. I flipped a coin and I held it on my hand for like an hour before I looked at it. And I was telling the Lord, please speak to me. I don't know any other way. This is not the proper way to discern, but God will meet you where you're at.
That's right.
And I basically, it was that heads Carolina or tails stay with the Marians, and it said heads Carolina. And I went back because my ex-fiance had reached out in an email. I explained it to my superiors that I was struggling with this. They were very supportive. The problem was I discerned too quickly. And I did not break off the relationship. If you are going to discern true to your vocation, if you feel you might have a vocation, you cannot be dating at the same time. Now, don't be at fear, though, that you're going to make a mistake, because whatever choice you make, both are beautiful goods. Okay. Look at the good you and Jason are doing, and you are engaged in the beautiful covenant of marriage. Okay. Do you think that God's going to tell you made the wrong decision? No. God is going to meet you where you're at. He's going to give you the both beautiful choices, becoming a nun or becoming a wife and a mother. You don't have to fear making the wrong decision, because you pray your best, you discern your best, and once you make that decision, God will meet you where you're at. And in other words, let's suppose you really were called to be a nun and somehow you missed it and you got married and now you have children. God is not calling you back to the convent. You are now a wife and a mother, and God is not angry with you. He is going to say, okay, you chose, I gave you both beautiful options, to be a consecrated religious or to be a wife and a mother. You chose to be a wife and a mother. I love you. Now be the best wife and mother you can be. And my grace is here. He is never going to be angry. I've met some people that it's destroyed their lives that they think they made the wrong choice. And they ended up getting married and having children when they were convinced God called them to be a nun. God is now calling you to be the best wife and mother you can be. Mm-hmm. So first thing, don't beat yourself up. Do not stress and have anxiety over this. Be at peace. But the one advice I could give is, before you do either, give your heart fully. If you really think there's a vocation to the consecrated life, stop dating for at least a year, so that your head is clear. There'll be plenty of opportunities, and if the person loves you, they'll understand that. I know it sounds difficult. Take it from me. I did not do that. I continued to date Gina, and I hedged my bets with God. I said, well, Lord, you can't expect me to break it off with her, because if you're not calling me to the priesthood, I don't want to lose her. She'll be gone. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's nice. She's so kind. She'll be gone. So, Lord, you understand.
Right? I get it. And this is the thing, Father, with all of that, it's like, deep in our hearts, we know God is calling us to something, right?
Yes.
And especially if we have something that we want, and we just, it's, example, I lived in Denver, Colorado. I lived at Red Rocks. I absolutely loved being in Colorado, where I lived, my house, my home, being by my family. I mean, I was there. And in my heart, I heard those small, still whispers, we needed to move to Arizona. And that was the last thing I wanted to do. I don't want to go to the desert. I want to be by my family. I don't want to. And at the end of the day, and what I've learned, and I think I've grown so much and matured in my faith, and it's been hard, is that when you hear those small, still whispers, you've got to go.
Yes.
You have marching orders. The God, the King of Kings or Lord of Lords, Jesus himself is speaking and whispering in your heart something. It matters and it's serious. It holds weight. And either you listen, we're obedient, or we fight it. And I've done that in my life as well, where you want to have like one foot going the right way and then the other foot kind of stuck there like, well, what if, you know? And that's not 100% faith right. in God.
And God will, if you give him a year, if you truly are seriously discerning something as serious and life-changing as a vocation to the consecrated life, and you give God a year and you give him the full attention, he will make it clear to you. And then if the answer is no, do you realize how much he will bless you mm-hmm. in your marriage and being a mother? He will bless you so abundantly because you gave him that ear of discernment. And there's nothing wrong if you discern out. But he will bless you for giving that. See, now, God had to work the back door with me because I was stubborn. I did it my way, and God still had to come in and rescue me. So what happened was I went to North Carolina thinking, I really need to marry Gina. We got back together. We had the best year ever in 2009. It was like better than before I left. We got back together, but unfortunately, 9 months into it, God had to call me back because I wasn't doing it myself. And I was in the chapel, and it's the only time I actually heard God. And I can't describe it. It wasn't audible. It was like you said, it's like those whispers mm-hmm. into the heart. And it was clear. It was took time to go back. And I said, no way. I said, Lord, this can't be of God. This must be Satan, because you would never ask me to destroy Gina a second time. You know, I by just packing up and leaving the first time, was very hard on her. And then I got her confidence. I came back. And now you want me to do it again? This is not of God. This must be Satan. And so I basically said no again. And this was 9 months after I'd been home. And so then for the next 3 months, I had this in my heart, but I was not going to leave again. I was going to be true to my word. I came home, we were going to get married, and I was going to be true to my word. All of a sudden, 3 months later, I get this phone call at work. And I was hired back by the business I started. It was kind of funny.
Wow.
And I get this call, and it was her. And she was crying. And the first thing you do as a man is, are you okay? Did something mm-hmm. happen to you?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I'm okay, but we need to talk. And I knew what she was thinking. And I raced home. And on the way, I'm planning my words because I knew she was devastated that she could read through me that I'm going to go back to the priesthood, that I'm going to abandon her again. Because even though we never talked about the priesthood, I knew she was smart. She knew me like the back of her hand, and she could tell that the priesthood was back on my heart. So I wanted to convince her the second I walked in the door that, be at peace, I'm not leaving. I am going to stay. But somehow in my heart, I just knew there was something more to this story. So I trusted that God was going to keep everything clear, but never did I expect what was going to happen next. I drove in to her place. We never lived together because I watched you and Jason on Theology of the Body.
That's right, Father. I love it. That's great.
So I walk in the door. She comes around the corner and I said, Gina, I got to tell you, I am not. And she put her hand up on my lips and she said, stop. She said, 3 months ago, she said, and that's exactly when it happened to me in the chapel. She said, God spoke to me. She said, I have been praying since the day you got home, asking God to show me that I'm not taking you away from him. And I said, what? And she said, I've been praying that he show me I'm not taking you away from him. And she said, it was my own selfish desire. And then when she said, this is how I knew she wasn't just trying to get out of the relationship, which my friends teased me was happening. She explained the exact same situation that happened to me 3 months earlier in my private prayer.
Wow.
What she felt, what God said, is exactly the same. And she said to me, I've been praying to God, and 3 months ago, he put it clearly on my heart. You are to return to the Marians. You are to be a priest. And I was like, what? And I felt at that very moment an absolute ton of bricks lifted off of my shoulder, and instantly, peace. You just asked, how do you know? How do you discern God's will? Peace. And instantly when she said that, I had peace. And she's looking at me. I will never forget it. And I could tell it was genuine. She really heard God's voice. The way she described it, the way she said it, was exactly what happened to me. The same thing. But neither of us, we were both afraid to tell each other.
Wow.
Finally, 3 months later, she got the courage to tell me. And I'm sitting in her living room. I'm standing in her living room. I literally hugged her and held her for 45 minutes. And that's the last I've seen her.
Oh my gosh.
And it was the way God had to come in, because I was an idiot and didn't discern the right way. God came in and still providentially planned it so that I came back, so that I came here and would be free. When I came the first time, I wasn't free. Mm-hmm. I was still attached to her.
Yeah.
And I still had her in my heart. And now God put closure. The whole reason I went back to North Carolina, I thought, was to close the priesthood. And God, in reverse, was closing Gina. And I had to accept that. And we both agreed it was better that we let each other go at that moment. And you know what? She was at peace. I was at peace. I can't explain the feeling. And it's funny because my buddies always say, well, don't you ever want to call her, see how she's doing? I said, no, for two reasons. One, I know God can take better care of her than I can. And I said, secondly, I know how stupid I am, because if I called her, my first question would be, so are you dating anybody?
And that curiosity,
and,
right?
Yep. And so I am so thankful to God that he can use our own stubbornness, stupidity, and weaknesses. And even if you mess up, God will fix it. So don't be afraid to make a discernment decision. Now, don't rush. I didn't rush. I discerned for like 3 years, but I still didn't do it the right way. Everybody kept telling me, clear your heart for God. Give him 1 year, and then he will clear. I didn't. I kept Gina the whole time.
Mm.
And so what a lesson I learned. And that lesson has helped me through my entire priesthood.
See, and everyone can learn from that, Father, though, because even though we may make the wrong choice or it's not exactly what God is asking or wanting of us, he still pursues you. He was still pursuing you that entire time. And so it's not like we can mess up God's plan for us. That's not possible.
Right?
It's not.
Right. That's the moral.
That is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But he will pursue you in that. And then also, even like with my move here, I didn't want, but I knew it's what God wanted. And you will have this profound peace. And only God can give you peace in something that you may not want.
Yes.
Which is so unbelievable. There's no way. The world cannot give you that. There's,
You know, in my secular brain and in my physical male body, I wanted Gina, not the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
It was very clear. I wanted her. I wanted marriage. I wanted children. I wanted her. I didn't want the priesthood. But God put the peace in my heart so that now I can't imagine being anything but a priest, being his priest.
Right? And you're fulfilling, and you stepped into what God has created you to be. And we are going to get back into that. But right now, everyone, we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN. But we will be right back with Father Chris Alar. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining us. And for those of you just tuning in, we are talking with Father Chris Ehlar today from the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. And that last segment was unbelievable, Father. Wow. I don't think a lot of people knew that about you. Everyone's right on the edge of their seat here. I know
it's
I am.
It's crazy. It's
wow.
crazy.
But what a call on your life. And that's something I think people really overlook. And they get so distracted by the world and the things just constantly put in front of them, the crisis and the next thing. And there's so much anxiety that they forget that they are called. They have a purpose.
Yes.
They have a mission. They have a plan. And I heard someone say once, the two, or there's could probably be three, I would say, most important days of your life is one, when you were born, two, the day you find out why, and three, when you die and you meet God,
mm-hmm.
and to see if you fulfilled that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
people forget God has got you and that you have a mission, you have a plan, you have a purpose. And look at you. Look, if you stepped into that priesthood and you stepped into God's army, let's say that, okay?
Yeah, and I've never done anything half-efforted wise. I always jump in full force. And so when God then showed me his clear view, his clear will, now it's been gung-ho.
Right, and you are doing great, amazing things. I mean, I have watched your videos for the past year, and I love that you did something on women in the Bible and Jesus had sinful ancestors. So let's go in that direction, because there are so many people right now that have really experienced a lot of hard things in their life, a lot of brokenness and wounds, and they're so buried in,
yes.
in that bondage, Father, and they don't
yeah.
know how to get out of it. They don't know if they're good enough, lovable enough, worthy enough. And the devil is beating them down with that demonic dialogue and trying to keep them from the mercy of God. Can
yeah.
you speak to those people, please?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the major causes of depression and anxiety is that we seem to stumble. We seem to fall short of our goals. We seem to make constant mistakes, and even worse, the same mistakes. I remember going into the confessional when I was in my 20s, and I went to confession, and I'm like, Father, I'm so embarrassed to even be here. I sound like a broken record,
mm-hmm.
you know? And he said, you know, you're a good man. And I'm like, Father, did you just hear my confession? and he said, no, you're a good man. And I said, Father, why would you say that? You heard my confession. I'm struggling with all these areas. And he said, the reason why is because you're here. He said, the only time you have to start worrying is when you stop coming.
Wow.
That's the only time you have to start worrying is when you stop coming. And so what happens is the people, we put too much on ourselves, that we struggle, we fall short of our goals. You know what? As long as we are trying, as long as we are giving that effort, was it Blessed Consolata Bertoni? Jesus told her, don't worry about all this other stuff. You just worry about loving me, and I'll take care of everything else to the smallest detail. And so we get ourselves worked up when we can't get everything perfect, our job's not going the way we want, or our family is falling apart. And that's the beauty of that Jesus talk on the women of the Bible. Few people realize that Jesus' family was full of sinners mm-hmm. and heretics and, I mean, prostitutes.
Uh-huh.
It was like,
right?
And what it shows is that even Jesus comes from a struggling background, and but with his grace, we can overcome it. And that's why I've done so many talks about how to get the grace. The grace comes in the sacraments. This is what makes our faith different than any other faith. We have 40,000 or something like that Christian denominations, but only one has the grace guaranteed in the sacraments, and that's the Catholic Church. And the sacraments are all biblical, and they are guaranteed grace. They're not symbols. You know, like when you go into that confessional, it's not, I hope I'm forgiven. Maybe I'm forgiven. You are guaranteed forgiveness, or Jesus is a liar. And people think, well, I don't need a priest. I don't have to go. Well, Jesus set it up this way in scripture. What does he tell the leper? Leprosy was a kind of a symbolism of mortal sin. Jesus healed him. And he didn't say to the leper, you can go now, you're all done. No, what did he say to the leper? Go to the priest, and the priest will declare you clean. Mm-hmm. So when you go into the confessional, of course God is the one who forgives you, even though the priest has that authority given by Jesus in Matthew 16:19, whose sins you forgive are forgiven in heaven, and whose sins you retain are retained in heaven. So really, he delegates that authority to the priest. The grace doesn't come from the priest, but God gives that priest the authority to declare you clean. So when the priest says, I absolve you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, you are guaranteed forgiveness, which you don't have any other way. And this comes in the beauty of our faith. So what do? We got to get to the sacraments. That grace will start to put you at peace. And when you are start to be put at peace, you'll see a reduction in the anxiety. You'll see a reduction in the depression. You will see, in this day and age, and I'm not telling anybody not to take their medicines. I never say that. But in this day and age, we become so dependent upon medicine and upon prescription, prescriptions to deal with depression and with anxiety. And I'm not telling anybody not to take that because it may be needed for you, but we've become so ingrained in that instead of turning to the grace of God to help us, we turn to pharmaceuticals to help us. And when we really find that God gives us the grace to help us to be at peace, our lives start to change, but we just have to be open to that. And so few people today are going to the sacraments. You know what shocks me, Kristalina, is the number of parents who are not baptizing their babies. I personally think that is one of the biggest single, because at baptism comes the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. Not the natural way. Like I can love Michigan football on a natural level. I can love ice cream on a natural level or fishing on a natural level, but I can't love agape. I can't love in the supernatural way without grace. And God gives us the grace at baptism. So we gotta baptize our babies. And then as we grow and we fall into sin, we gotta get to confession to be purified of that. And then on our journey, we have to be fed, food for the journey. We need Holy Communion. These are the ways that when we receive that actual grace, God will start to work in us, to bring us that peace, to bring us that discernment, to be able to know in our life what our direction is. And then all of a sudden, when you find your direction in life and you find your meaning in life, you start to see a reduction in anxiety and depression.
Oh, absolutely. And today, ladies, is Saturday, and everywhere this afternoon is going to be confession. A lot of churches are open. Don't miss that opportunity. And if you hear that small, still voice, listen. Listen to that invitation, and you can completely change the course of your entire life by going to confession this afternoon, because it's harder to hear the voice of God and to discern the will of God in your life if you are buried under your own sin, right?
Yes.
And there's a lot more clarity, and you can't see clearly 100% spiritually if you are in mortal sin or just bogged down with venial sin. So go to confession. And with that being said, Father, we are physical beings, but we're also spiritual beings.
Yes.
And I have experienced the medicine of the Eucharist. It is a medicine for our spiritual lives, for that rot inside of us from sin and the world. And we need Jesus in the Eucharist. We need Eucharistic adoration to go and receive him. And I understand that, because in the dark place that I was before my conversion and going to those hours of adoration and spending time with him, I do feel there has been healing in there. And that is that spiritual medicine that he wants to give all of us, that grace of going in him. And the year of the Eucharistic revival right now that we're in the middle of, Jesus is calling all his people to himself, literally, right? Literally this year. There's no exception here. He's calling everybody.
Right. And if you have any doubt about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, please go to YouTube and type in my last name, so it's A-L-A-R, and Eucharistic Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
There is a talk that Excellent. I did on Eucharistic miracles that it's unbelievable. The evidence, it's human heart tissue in these Eucharistic miracles. It's beating heart of Christ and the white, I get into all the detail, the white blood cells, I get into all of that. So please, if you even have 1 ounce of doubt about the real presence, go to YouTube, type ALAR, A-L-A-R, and Eucharistic Miracles, and just find a time, an hour and 20 minutes to watch that talk. I promise you, you will never see the Eucharist the same way. I know I didn't before I heard and researched these stories. It's unbelievable.
It's an awesome. I've listened to it. You've got to listen to it. It's phenomenal. I want to know, Father, what is your take on why people don't believe? Why don't they believe in Jesus and the Eucharist?
Our world right now is teaching us that empirical evidence in science has to see something for it to exist. Okay. We are, show me, you know, you have to prove it to me. Well, what's the whole meaning of faith? Mm-hmm. Is belief in something unseen? And so, you know, in fact, that's why Catholics get criticized a lot for being conspiracy theorists. And I just said this on my talk on woke. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to give you my theory of what's happening in the world and why. And I went into a little thesis on what I believed was happening and why the world's going bonkers. And I said, now many people are going to accuse me of being a conspiracy theorist. But do you know why Catholics often follow conspiracy theories? Is because we believe in an enemy we cannot see.
Yes.
And that is Satan. He's at work. But if you don't believe in an enemy just because you can't see him, you're going to get burned.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You are going to get fried. And so I think one of the reasons there's no belief is because after the 60s, where there started this misguided, the radical sexual revolution and radical feminism that is everything contrary to the tradition of the family and the husband and wife being equal but different and having different roles. I do a whole talk on the father being the head of the family. The wife is not a servile submission. Submission means under the mission. And what's the father's mission? To get the wife and the children to heaven. And so the wife should be under that mission of getting you and your children to heaven. It does not mean you're subordinate in an inferior way. In fact, you can have equality with subordination. Look at the Trinity. Look at the Trinity. Son is subordinate to the Father while being completely equal and dignified. The Holy Spirit is subordinate to the Son, yet he's completely equal and the same dignity. And so it doesn't mean the servile, I'm going to rule you like a taskmaster because I'm the husband, I'm the father, you know. Mm-hmm. No, it is a partnership. It's like ballroom dancing. I do a whole talk on ballroom dancing where you have a leader and you have a follower. It doesn't mean the follower is inferior. You got to have both or there's no dance. And both have to listen to the music or they're not going to work. And what is the music? The whispering of the Holy Spirit. That's what is so important for us to get to. But I really think that we don't believe because we have lost the sense of the sacred at Mass.
Yes.
And then that has led us to we don't need Mass. And then the not needing Mass has led us to filling the vacuum that's created in our lives by not having God fill it, by having it filled by the three gods of the world, small g gods, sex, money, and power. And that's why for most men, the downfall is sex, money, or power. And even women too, we can get into things like vanity and pride. I heard once before that men's, generally, it's not with everybody, but men's biggest struggle is lust and women's is pride. Now, these are the two that Satan will play on because the three gods of the world, sex, money, and power. That's why we take the three vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Mm. Every religious takes those vows. And that's because the vow of poverty overcomes the small g god of the world of money. We take the vow of chastity because that vow overcomes the small g god of the world of sex. And we take the vow of obedience, and that overcomes the small g god of the world of power. So, with a diminished need for the church and mass, we've removed God from our life. That's created a void, and we have filled it with garbage.
Again, we are talking with Father Chris Alar from the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. But Father, this is the thing. There are so many good people that see this evil encroaching upon our church, and there mm-hmm. is a counterfeit faith being taught. There's a lot of false teachings, and it's like people don't know how to sift through what is what. And also, yeah. how do we kind of counter what is coming in that is not so good?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Satan has three main tools. The first is pride. And we saw that from the very beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve. His second great tool is fear. And we saw that with COVID. Mm-hmm. We were petrified even to be with our loved ones or our grandchildren.
Yes.
And his third big tool is confusion. And now he played the pride card throughout COVID. Now he's playing the confusion. He's playing on confusion. And we don't even know what a man or a woman is mm-hmm. anymore. If he can confuse the single most inherent part of your very being, the most integral part of your very existence, your maleness or your femaleness, what is the only thing that the doctor can identify you the day you are born about you? Not that you are smart or stupid, that you're going to be tall or short or thin or fat or outgoing, extroverted or introverted. What's the only thing he can tell about you? You're a boy or a girl. Mm. That is the only thing he can tell about you. It is so inherent to our identity as a person that you know it instantly. And if Satan can confuse that, he can confuse anything. So with that, he's going for the jugular right now. He yes. knows his time is short. He's got very little time left. He's going for the jugular. Our job right now, we know God wins the war, but we got to minimize casualties. What is a casualty? A lost soul. Now, Satan going for the jugular, and I think two ways he's overplayed his hand. And this is what Satan always does. Where he burns himself, he always overplays his hand. Let me give you an example. The first one is this whole woke movement. This, by redefining marriage, he got the whole world behind him. By claiming human rights and civil rights, he got the whole world behind him. Even with transgenderism, he started to get the whole world behind him. If somebody wants to become a girl, they're really a boy, you know what? They're adults, let them do it. He had almost the whole world behind him. Satan overplays his hand. When you get children into it, mm-hmm. which he now started doing because he wants the whole world under his thumb, it's all of a sudden going to overplay your hand, and now we're starting to wake up. Praise be to God.
Yes.
The second one you just mentioned is the false teachings that are sneaking in, the confusion that is caused by an alternate faith. Mm-hmm. But this, again, is Satan overplaying his hand. He's presenting these, even the bishops in Germany and other places mm-hmm. that are, way out of base, even certain priests. He's overplaying his hand. Why? Because you know how our faith became defined? You know how we knew the trueness of our faith? It was defined after heresy. Our church is defined in its faith. Even the Apostles' Creed only came about after heresy. Because in heresy, the church realizes, I now need to define the faith clearly, succinctly, and simply. And that's what it does. So the more heresy that's coming, I believe Satan's overplaying his hand because God's going to come right behind it. And the church is then going to nail down and clarify for us. We just have to pray sooner than later. And there won't be so many souls lost.
What can people and lay people like me and other people out there listening do against this kind of counterfeit faith and this onslaught and this attack on us and our children right now? Because we're definitely in a battle, we're in a war, and it's time for everybody to, like, all hands on deck, right?
Yeah.
And God is kind to all people.
Absolutely. And the number one is you got to get active. You got to have activism. Jesus says, I cannot stand the lukewarm soul. I'd rather you super hot or super cold. I'm like, well, why would you be super cold? Look at St. Paul. He was super cold. He was persecuting Christians. But yet God said he's got zeal. I can use that for me. And he did. You got to get active. Please know what books your children are reading. Please know what's being taught in their schools. Even if your child won't tell you, go to the school board and demand to see the curriculum. Some of these things I am hearing are absolutely beyond
filthy.
There's not even words to describe what they are teaching our kids. This is just beyond. They shouldn't even be learning about heterosexual love of the covenant within the marital act of marriage, let alone disordered acts. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. And so this is, please be active. Please know what they're teaching your children and have a say. And I tell you, the more that we do, it's the tide is starting to change a little bit. And we're starting to see finally the Catholics getting active. Don't be afraid. Stand up for your truth. Jesus said he would protect us when we do.
Absolutely. It seems like these demons feed off the innocence of our children.
Yes.
Right. That's what I am kind of seeing here. What can we do spiritually to protect our homes, our families, our children and ourselves, Father?
The big four devotions. I had a talk on this back on our YouTube channels. There are so many devotions in the Catholic Church. Which one out of the thousands of devotions?
That's the thing, right?
You know, there are so many of them. The first thing that we have to do is Mass and the sacraments. I mean, we absolutely have to have Mass and the sacraments. We can't do it without that. I mean, that's the bedrock faith, okay? Without that, we have nothing. But the other ones that you really need to be involved in are First Fridays and First Saturdays, because what Mary asked, and I have tons of talks out there about the importance of First Fridays and First Saturdays. It had almost died in our church. And then when COVID hit, we revived it. And now we see all over the world, people are redoing their First Fridays and First Saturdays. It is so important. And people say, well, Father, what about the rosary? Well, the rosary I include in that because on the First Saturdays, one of the requirements is to pray the rosary. Then what goes along with that is Divine Mercy. Divine Mercy, Jesus told St. Faustina, is mankind's last hope of salvation. I mean, he made it very clear. You don't pass through the doors of my mercy, you must pass through the doors of my justice. I ain't going to make it through the doors of justice. There's no way. It's just not going to happen. And so we really need to bring Divine Mercy, into our lives, and being active, in our things. The other one is the precious blood. The precious blood has the answer to everything. The precious blood, one drop of the precious blood could have redeemed the world. And remember, in the precious blood, it's same as in the host, in one little piece of the host, you get full body, blood, soul, and divinity. Okay? You get that. And the same in the precious blood, although concomitantly, you get the flesh of Christ, even in the precious blood. And in the host, you get the flesh of Christ, the body of Christ, but concomitantly, you get the blood of Christ. How many times do we pray to be covered in the precious blood? Mm-hmm. It's a sadness in our community, I mean, in our culture today, that we're just turning away from all these graces that God gave us. And finally, Jesus told St. Faustina over and over and over again, the most powerful prayer is meditation on his passion. The most important, powerful prayer we can make. And so Stations of the Cross. Stations of the Cross is one of the big four indulgences. You can really look, it's got it all. It has it all because, and when you think about it, all of those devotions have everything. You've got the rosary in the first Fridays and first Saturdays. You've got the chaplet of Divine Mercy in the Divine Mercy. You've got the Eucharist and the precious blood in that devotion. And in the meditation in the Stations of the Cross, you are doing what Jesus said to do into St. Faustina, to meditate on his passion. It's the most powerful form of prayer you can do. And that's meditation on his passion. You got to find time to pray. And somebody says, well, I got children, I got a husband, I got groceries, work, travel, you know, commuting. Please find four times a day to pray 15 minutes, not 15 minutes each, total of 15 minutes. When do you want, what are the big four times to pray? One, when you wake up. Just do a little morning offering, thanking God that when you had your mini death the night before, you just had your mini resurrection when you woke up this morning. Secondly, pray before all meals. Just even acknowledging God that gives you what so many people do not have. Third, pray before you go to bed, thanking God for the graces of the day. And fourth, before you receive the sacraments. Pray before you receive. How many people pray before they go to confession? Pray that the priest will understand you. Pray that God will have mercy on you and give you all that grace. So there's just so many great things that we can do. And it doesn't even have to take a lot of time.
That's right. It overwhelms us. Do you have a talk on the precious blood?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to go back to that. Everyone go back to the talk on the precious blood.
I'm telling you, if I had to pick one devotion, it's got it all because it's based on the Mass. And it's based on one drop could have redeemed the world. If I had to pick one devotion of the entire church, and you never hear this, you never hear priests mention this, it is the precious blood.
And all of hell is scared of one drop of Jesus' precious blood. That's how powerful. Yep. And that's what we're talking about here, everybody. It's huge. So go find Father Chris Aylar. He is all over the place. Where can they find you and hook up with you in these amazing
talks?
Yes, please
join us. We are on YouTube, our Divine Mercy channel. It's the channel's called Divine Mercy. We are on Facebook. Our channel's called Divine Mercy Official. We are on YouTube every Wednesday night at 6:30 Eastern time for Living Divine Mercy. And best of all, if they cancel me off of all of that, because I always say that I have a big mouth and it's probably going to get me canceled someday, we have our own new platform called DivineMercyPlus.org, and we have everything on that channel.
And I started listening to your talks, honestly, on your DivineMercyPlus.org because I want the full version because sometimes they take out a lot of pieces now, it seems.
Oh,
so I just go there now. But go there and find Father.
Oh, thank you
for being here, really, and your honesty. And most of all, thank you for your courage. And I wish more priests would stand up. And courage is contagious for lay people and for the religious. And just know you are in my prayers. And thank you for all that you do, Father.
Thank you, and God bless you and all the listeners that are making a difference one woman at a time. God bless you.